Last Sunday morning, I began a new series entitled Framing Your Future with Your Mouth. And I'm following that series for several Sundays. But in addition, on Wednesday nights, there's also going to be teaching that will couple to what we're doing on Sunday. I'm not like picking up on Wednesday night where I am on Sunday morning, but we're offering teachings that are supplemental along the same line. This past Wednesday night, I talked about worry is weed seed. And Jesus said, take no thought for your life saying, and then he goes through the things that we worry about. And there's a connection between anxiety and worry and the words we speak out our mouth. And last Wednesday night was about that. So we're back to this morning in the book of Genesis is where we're going to spend our time. But this series rests upon a scripture out of the book of Hebrews. And as I shared last week, we're going to go through this entire month building. I really believe this is a message for this season, for this congregation right now. And it's important that we get in alignment with it. I believe it's going to help usher us in to the next place the Lord has for us. So I'm going to ask you to stand now because our scripture memory for this month is also the foundational text for this series, Hebrews 11, verse 3. And we're going to declare this together two different times. Okay? And pay attention to what we are saying and what it means. Okay? Hebrews 11, 3. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Okay? Let that seep in. One more time. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. You may be seated. The truth of this scripture is found in a number of other scriptures. One Sunday we'll probably drill down into Romans chapter 5 where Paul, talking about Abraham's relationship with God and how Abraham and Sarah couldn't have a child, described God as the one who called things who were not as though they were. Just like this scripture tells us that God created everything by His Word. The Word is Rhema, the spoken Word. By divine fiat, God spoke the worlds into existence so that everything that we see was made from something we cannot see. What is seen was made from something that's not visible. What has been made was made from something that was not seeable. And this is a principle that God chose. This is how God chose to bring the universe into existence, by speaking forth from Himself His Word. And His Word spoken carried the force, the might, the energy, and the power to create and to bring into existence, into the seen realm, what previously existed only within Him. God is Spirit. He saw it. He had the blueprint, design in mind when He spoke it forth. It was there, and then it became seen because of His spoken Word. Last week we saw that God created man in His own image, and that Adam also, mentored by God Himself, was given the direction by God to name the animals. So Adam assigned identity to those animals. What He called them is what they were. And so we see Him mirroring the image of God, except now He is a spirit being in a material suit made out of dust. And you are a spirit. You have a body. You are a spirit. You possess a soul. And so you're made in the image of God. And we're going to look at that more today, but we're going to move on through some of these first order principles. And there's so many of them. I'm not covering them all in this. Every week I'm seeing stuff I didn't see before. And so I'm trying to just, Lord, let me help me say what you want me to say today.
Yeah.
We are living in a voice command culture. We really are. The world we live in now is voice commanded. Let me illustrate it, hopefully. Hey, Google, play instrumental smooth jazz music. Come on. Oh, I need to touch a button. Hey, Google, play instrumental smooth jazz music. I know you're in there. Come on. Hey, Google, stop. Voice command. Some of you walk in your house. Alexa, turn the lights on when you go to sleep at night. Alexa, turn the lights off. Alexa's the name of a device, by the way, not somebody's family member. Many of you iOS people, you iPhone people, hey Siri, give me a recipe for peanut butter fudge. And there it is. It is a voice-commanded culture. Hey, Mickey, make me some wafers in that hot chocolate pudding. There's been malfunction on that one, but the others are doing pretty good. But this is the world in which we live. It really is. But isn't it interesting that with man's ability to usher in all these things, it really is tapping into a first-order principle in the Scripture. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He said, let there be light, and there was light. And He began to call things into existence. And now man made in His image has created an environment where we're at least mimicking that electronically. It's amazing, really. And that's what we're going to be stepping into today as we continue in this study, because last week we went through Genesis 1 and I shared a lot of things with you about that. You can listen to that. But today we're going to step back into that list that I had started about creating your future harvest, because you're made in God's image and God has laid out for us how He chose to bring the things that are into existence. And we see Him mentoring the first man and the first woman, giving them dominion and teaching them to operate in that same way under His authority. Remember last week, the principle of revelatory declaration? And I chose those terms. This is just what I'm choosing to call these things, but I chose those terms because what is important is that revelation comes from God. So that what you're saying is agreeing with what God is saying or God has said. And that keeps you in alignment with the will of God. That's very, very important. It's really not name it and claim it. Just decide what you want to blab and grab. You know, name it and claim it. But there is a sense in which it is claim it and name it. Get the revelation of the promise, claim the promise, and begin declaring it, you see. And that principle that you may have heard a lot through the years is really a very valid biblical principle, but it's important that the origin of the revelation, I'll even say it this way, the initiation of revelation is from God Himself, either by His Spirit, through His Word, or both. Because if it has origin with Him, then that word aligns with Him, then that word is His word, that word has power in it. The power to accomplish God's purposes, plans, and blueprints. Now, your words have power whether God's got anything to do with it or not by virtue of the fact that you're made in the image of God. It can be used in purity or it can be used in perversion. You can start telling one of your relatives how sorry, low down they are, add all the adjectives, curse words to it you want to. And if you're trying to get them to express the anger that you have toward them, it'll work. Because the seed carries what's in it. So we want to get the revelation from God and learn how to embrace it with our faith and speak it out our mouth. And we talked a good bit about that last week, the principle of revelatory declaration. Today, I want to introduce you to the principle of innovation and dominion. The principle of innovation and dominion. What I mean by this, and we're about to see it in the Scripture, is innovation means that you take something that already is, something that already exists, and then you add something else to it to enhance it or improve it. So God, we watch Him move with innovation in Genesis 1 and 2. I'll show it to you. We also will see dominion. God is God. He's the ruler of all rulers. So as the king of the kingdom, king who has dominion over all, now man made in His image is delegated authority. This is the principle of delegation and the principle of authority. That's others you can throw in here. He delegates that to Adam and Eve. And He says, you're going to have dominion over everything I've created. We'll see that in just a moment. And what I want you to understand and realize this morning is that we're reading about what God told Adam and Eve. Well, the unfallen Adam and Eve were perfect, pure, and powerful. Let me repeat that. The unfallen Adam and Eve were both perfect, pure, and powerful. That means that their dominion really had no resistance because they were in such purity of alignment with God. They represented God in the earth realm. I didn't say they were God. I said they were representative. They represented God. They were His under-regents, governors, if you will, who had been delegated authority. But when they fell, then perversion came, chaos came, disruption occurred. And then things go sideways from there. But God sent His Son Jesus as the last Adam and the second man, and I'm rehearsing this with you again because we want to get it, to restore what the first Adam lost when he fell. Okay? So whatever image of God that Adam and Eve had, when sin came, it became marred and disrupted. But when Jesus died on the cross, redeemed us from our sin, bore the wrath for our sins, and now imputes to us, listen, His righteousness, which would also, we could also say, He now, as the last Adam, imputes to us His perfection, His purity, and His power, so that we can operate under authority of God as Adam and Eve did. Now, the only difference being is, we still hold these truths I'm speaking of in these earthen bodies. The promised possession, we know this from the New Testament, is that we will get a new glorified body. We all realize as we grow older that our bodies are affected by the age and environment in which we live. But we're going to get new ones. Say, I'm going to get a new body. Goodbye, Ben Gay. Right? But really, that's true. So we have that promise. How do we have that? Paul said, because the Spirit in us is an earnest of our inheritance. The Holy Spirit's presence in your life is God's guarantee the rest of the goods are coming. You're going to get your glorified body. And Adam and Eve, apart from sin and the curse, were created to live eternally with God in the place God had created and given them to dwell in. And when it's all said and done, we will be given new glorified bodies, and we will dwell in the new heaven and new earth that God has made. The tree of life is going to be there. The river is going to be there. The throne of God's going to be there. The presence of God's going to be there. I'm going to be there. I'm planning on it. You're going to be there. Hopefully you're planning on it. And then we're going to enter into eternity suited, in bodies suited for an eternity, continuing to carry out whatever God's designs, assignments, and blueprints are. Because a God who can say, universe come into existence, and it comes into existence quicker than popcorn popping in the microwave. If he can do that, I got an idea. He's continually active, and we're going to participate in whatever he has. I have no clue what all that will involve, but it's going to be good, and it's going to be God. The principle of innovation and dominion. Let's look at the scriptures to back this up. And there's others in these verses that I'm going to choose these. Genesis 1:21. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him, male and female. He created them. We were created by God, okay? Verse 28. Then God blessed them. There's the principle of spoken blessing. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful. These are commands. Be fruitful. Multiply. He's a God of increase. Fill the earth and subdue it. There's the empty and filling principle. He says, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Adam and Eve had the word from God. Anything that moved on the earth, they had power over it. They had dominion over it. And God would back them up. Wow, you can pull that in and apply it to when you're going out praying in areas and you know you're in a line with God's will, you're right with God, and you've got prayers, you've got revelation about what God has told you from His Word and by His Spirit that He wants to do, and you get into a place of agreement and you begin decreeing and declaring that in the spirit realm, things have to adjust. You set things in motion when you do that. We talked about this last week about shifting atmospheres. Don't think that declaring and decreeing the Word of God that you know to be the will of God for that situation, don't think for a moment that won't work. You keep praying it, you keep decreeing it, you keep declaring it. God watches over His Word to bring it forth. Isaiah 55 says, His Word will not return void. It will accomplish the purpose for which He sent it forth. There's that connection, getting revelation. Oh, this is what You propose to do, Lord. This is Your purpose. So I'm going to stand in that and declare it, and by Your Spirit and by faith believe it's going to be brought forth. That comes with it, also the understanding that's what required of me, what the assignments, the steps of faith I need to take, I will also do those to bring to fruition the fullness of what God desires to do. So, we see that here, dominion. And then, let's move on, we jump into chapter 2, we're told how God created the first man. And I wrote my book, The First Breath, based on Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Now, let me show you the innovation on God's part. He takes dust that He had previously created. He forms and fashions that dust He had already created. Then He breathes life into it. This is again a picture of speaking, of releasing the Spirit, the Word and the Spirit, they move together. He speaks into Adam's spirit life, and Adam woke up, and you've heard me teach this many times. The first face he ever saw was the face of God. The first voice Adam ever heard was the voice of God. The first emotion Adam ever experienced was the love of God, because God is love. And Adam stood up as a man full of the Spirit of God, because God just breathed the Spirit into him. And he was living in a garden, a place called pleasure, fellowshipping with God. That's paradise. That's God's original design. But look at the innovation. He takes dust he had previously created, and then he adds something to it to make something different. to accentuate. Part of His design was to make an earth, and then out of the earth to make a man. And then out of the man, look at this in verse 21, to make a woman. Verse 21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. Sidebar, if you're here and you're having trouble sleeping at night, there's your verse. God, you helped Adam sleep. Help me sleep well tonight. I decree, Genesis 20:21, the Lord's going to cause a deep sleep to fall upon me. Have the first surgery right here. And it says that he took one of Adam's ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Now let me ask you, if it says he closed up the flesh in its place, what does that imply? That he had opened him up. And he reached inside of Adam and took a rib and then closed the flesh. And innovation occurred. Why? Well, he had already made dust. He formed and fashioned it. And then he added to that, he breathed in that and created a man. Now, out of a man, because he had all the animals come before Adam and he named them, but there was no one, a companion for him. And God said, it's not good for a man to be alone. That's when Adam had the deep sleep and he took the rib and God made a woman. He said, for the Lord, he takes the rib and he made it into a woman and he brought her to the man. And you've heard me teach this. This is Christian marriage. You got a man who's met with God first and a woman who's met with God first, and then God brings them together. That's Christian marriage. That's the first marriage. Now notice this. From the dust he makes the man. From the man he makes the woman. All of that came from dust that he had spoken into existence. This is God moving with innovation. And this is part of the image in God that we have, to take what exists and enhance, improve, or add to it. And by the way, when God brought the woman to Adam, here's how he responded. This is now bone of my bones. Why would he say that? She was made from one of his bones. Flesh of my flesh. She came from Adam's flesh. She shall be called woman. Or somebody said, whoa, man. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Hebrews, she shall be called Isha because she was taken out of Ish in Hebrew. So, this is the creative, innovative work of God. He created them and then he gave them dominion. And it's interesting, we are told a few times here, God made them in His image, in His likeness. Of all the creatures He created, man, woman, humankind alone bears the imprimatur of God upon their life, the image of God upon their life. You, dear beloved, this morning, you're made in the image of God. Don't let the devil convince you you're some so-called piece of trash. You're made in the image of God. God designed you. He has a blueprint for you. You were made intentionally with purpose. When Adam and Eve, when the Bible goes on to say that Adam knew his wife Eve, he was partnering with God once again. I just got to share this with you anyway. You see what I call the stirring spirit and the spoken word principle in the Scriptures. That's another teaching, but I just got to put this in here right now. In the beginning, it says, God created heavens and the earth, and the Spirit hovered over the face of the deep. The Hebrew word there for hover literally can mean agitate or vibrate, to hover or brood like a hen over eggs. And its root word means to tremble or shake. Now, honestly, I've had times in services or when somebody's prayed for me when the Spirit of God began to move on me and my body began to shake. Back in the awakenings, there were a group of people that happened too commonly, and they were called the shakers. I've had that happen when when I encountered God's Holy Spirit back in 1997 as a Baptist preacher, I shook, and it was like 6 or 7 days. My right hand trembled just like this. I couldn't stop it. It was just like energy. That word carries that idea of to tremble, to vibrate. It's like the Holy Spirit was releasing a sound, if you would. Then God began to speak. It's when God, listen, when God began to speak, where the Spirit was moving, the results was powerful creativity that was released. Things were brought into being. And so, again, when we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leadership, and in the middle of that, lean our ear to get revelation from God, whether His Word or by His Spirit, or His Spirit releasing a gift through us and obediently stepping into that, that same first-order principle is operating. The spoken Word unites with the stirring Spirit, and boom! Kaboomba! Dynamic, powerful, creative results. Maybe a miracle occurs. A creative miracle. Pastor Larry got one recently. I saw my wife lay hands on a young girl about 20 or so years old that from the age of about 5, she had been deaf, and the doctor said her hearing apparatus had been eaten up by infection and disease. She would never hear. And God recreated that inside her ear, and she began hearing again. That's where the Holy Spirit was moving in the service. She prayed and spoke God's Word. The Spirit and the Word came together, released the power of the seed that's in the Word. Boom! Will of God. Purpose of God. A miracle of God. Same thing happened when the Spirit came upon the Virgin Mary, and the Holy Spirit began to hover over her. And God Himself placed a seed in her, His living Word. And she ultimately brought forth the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, God in a human suit. I believe when Paul and Silas were in prison, instead of griping, complaining, and being bitter, they began to worship and release God's revelation through song, fill that prison house with song. And then the Holy Spirit came in with that. When it all came together, the place they prayed began to shake, and it shook the shackles off of them, shook the jail doors open. Same principle, the stirring Spirit and the spoken Word. And this is how innovation can occur as well. Because sometimes, like Adam in his sleep, God came and did something inside of him, and then something manifested outside of Adam that was a great blessing to him. There are times in your night season when the Holy Spirit may visit you, and in a dream, heaven opens and you get a revelation from God. When you wake up, most of the time you know when it's a God dream. There's just that witness with your spirit. You wake up and you know the Lord has shown you something, and you may have to get it interpreted. But then the Lord's showing you what's going to manifest as you walk that out. That's a revelatory dream. He does something inside of you that manifests later. These principles are how we're to live our life. They're mirrored in how God brought things into being and still does in this sense. So, I want to talk to you a few moments about imagination, collaboration, and creativity under this principle of innovation and dominion. I'm telling each of you this morning, truth of the matter, lost or saved, you bear the image of God to a measure. Even in your dreams, have you ever had times in your dreams at night that you know that you had dreams that were not from God? They were dark, maybe even evil. Maybe you had a dream, and when you woke up, you were like, oh my goodness, I never thought about doing anything like that. And I had this dream about that. And I didn't. And it's like you couldn't escape it. You couldn't get away from it in your dream. And when you woke up, you were so happy, it was just a dream. Yeah, the enemy, the carnal man, can get in cahoots, if you will. And you can have those kind of dreams. But when the Spirit of God, you know, that's important when you pray at night. You know, commit yourself to the Lord. Lord, I pray my dreams would be God dreams tonight. I pray that my sleep, that you would watch over my sleep. You don't sleep, you don't tarry. I can rest well tonight to know that the world is safe in your hands. My world is safe in your hands. You know, I shall lie down tonight and my sleep shall be sweet. And you can have God dreams. And some, there have been many inventions and innovative technologies that have been brought forth by dreams people have had. You see, there's a part of you, the dominion part of you, when it goes south, you know, we can be controlling. And we want to take charge and we want to climb up the ladder and step on people on our way up. But there's a healthy dominion in you when that curiosity, you want to know what's around the next curve. You want to know what's over the hill. You look at the stars. I wonder what's out there. You know, that type of dominion causes you to stretch and strain, to discover, to research, to develop, to desire to enhance. We carry that as part of our nature. Some people may have more of some of it than the other, but we all have that by virtue of the image of God within us, and particularly as believers, indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God and who are reading and feeding on the Word of God, we got the 1-2 power punch, the Spirit and the Word. And that's what God's wanting to rise up, of people that are marshaling in His end time purposes and plans and purposes, plans and designs. And so we've got to step into this. You have imagination as part of the image of God in you. I like to call it imagination. It's God's image in you. Why? Before everything came into existence, God knew what it was supposed to look like, and that part of Him that did began to speak it forth. You have that operates in your mind. Your imagination is part of your soul. Your soul is your mind, your emotions, your will, your reason, your imagination. By the way, your mind is different than your brain. Your brain is the physical organ that's in your cranial cavity. Your mind inhabits your brain. When you die, your mind leaves your body with your soul. Your brain stays behind. You see, it's the way it operates. So your imagination means you have the capacity to see things that don't exist. And then, based on what you see that does not exist, you can begin to take steps to bring it into existence. That's how God created the world. He had the power to do it. And you have a measure of power. But when you get everything aligned correctly, and you're wanting what God wants, and you're willing what God wills, and you're saying what God is saying, then things are going to boom, boom, boom. That's when things start getting good, right? When God did that, He looked at it and said, it's good. And at the end, He said, after He made the woman, He said, it's very good. Imagination. Now, let's say the doors open over here. Oh, what is it that we see? My goodness, look at that. There's a gorilla sitting on a green John Deere tractor. He's got an Alabama baseball cap on. He's riding across there. Look at that. He's got one of those Yeti bottles. They've taken him a swig of water. Look at that, would you? Look at that. What's he doing with a pack of beech nut in his left front shirt pocket? I don't know. And there he comes, putting across there. There he goes through those doors. Well, that's not true. I mean, but I could see that in my mind. And as I described it, you started forming that. That's our imagination. That's part of the image of God that we possess that can be used for godly and good purposes. Let me share three words with you about this. Because what we're wanting is we're wanting to flow in this and utilize this, get schooled in this. This whole month, I believe God is showing me, and when we get to the end, we're going to step into some things, but is to get the proper revelation in place, to get us established in how it operates, so that when we really step into that arena of creativity, it will be done in a way that will be pleasing to the Lord and in align with the Scriptures. Okay? So, when this is operating as it should, then there will be blessing. Right? When God created it, He blessed Adam and Eve. There's blessing when we're doing it God's way. When God sees it's good, there's blessing on it. It'll bless us. It'll bless others. There'll be benefit. In other words, it will add value to humankind. It will be beneficial for humankind. When the enemy's up to something, when the enemy's inspiring somebody, it will divide, it will destroy, it will dominate, it will bring death, it will result in loss. But when the Holy Ghost is infusing something with inspiration, it will be good, it will be life-giving. Oh, that last Adam, when he came, it says the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life, has now overcome the law of sin and death. See, that's the difference. So there'll be blessing, there'll be benefit, and there'll be beauty. When God's Spirit is working, it's beautiful, it's holy, it's pure, it's good. Adam, perfect, pure, powerful. Last Adam, perfect, pure, powerful. When we're in the last Adam, rolling like we're supposed to, aligned with the Lord, getting our revelation, embracing it by faith, speaking it out of our mouth, and walking it out led by the Spirit, perfect, pure, and powerful. Blessing, benefit, and beauty. And we're created for this. Your molecules dance and vibrate around this revelation. It's in you. And the Word of God, the truth of revelation, is to draw it out of you and to equip you. It will help you in functioning with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It will help us in understanding apostolic assignment, prophetic declaration, evangelistic outreach, pastoral care and compassion, teaching, grounding, establishing in the Word. It's so important. Why? Because it's foundational to how God created the worlds themselves, this earth itself. It's got to be foundational for us because we came up out of the dust, made men and women. It's in our DNA. It's given us by God breath, inspiration. And we are separated and adrift without understanding. Listen, it's by faith that we understand this is how all this happened. That's what Hebrews 11 says. We can't drill down deep enough to understand it completely. We can't soar high enough to embrace it and say, well, I got it all. No, it's unfathomable. But it's so much more that we can have than we have ever dreamed. Collaboration. Adam collaborates with God. Adam, I created these creatures, now you name them. They're partnering together. He's mentoring Adam. They're collaborating. Adam, you supply the body and the rib, and I'll supply the woman. They are collaborating. Adam and Eve, I put birds in the air. This is the empty and filling principle. The earth was empty. The sky was empty. He filled it with stars and birds. The seas were empty. He filled them with fish and living creatures. The ground was empty. He filled it with plants and trees and animals. That's the empty filling principle. God loves to fill stuff up. He likes to get things empty of the wrong things and full of the right things. Adam and Eve, I've created all this. Now collaborate with me. I want you to oversee it. They partnered with God. Imagination, collaboration, and creativity. This message today is aimed at encouraging you as the creature to know that your Creator has endowed you with creativity and that you are to be an innovator and that we will see more accomplished when we are collaborating. And when our creativity is expressed fully in the way that God wants it to be, He is going to be glorified. The world is going to be blessed, benefited, and made beautiful. So, all the arts. There's books in here that need to be written that are inside of you. There's paintings in here that need to be painted. They're inside of you. I had a painting given me a week ago by one of our church members. She brought it up, and I knew what it was when I saw it, and I knew what it meant. And I've been studying the Scripture this week. I'm going to bring that painting in here Wednesday night, the Lord willing, unless I get redirected. And I'm going to share with you how what I'm teaching you today is modeled through that painting out of a story that comes out of the Scripture. Because it was, God just chose for her to express that in paint on canvas, and it becomes a revelation for me, because this is what I was studying, and like, oh, okay, here's another example in Scripture, and I want you to be benefited by it this Wednesday night. And this is exciting. Some of you are such excellent craftsmen, and there's all kind of ways. It's not just the what you invent or what you innovate, what it may do, but a lot of it is it becomes keys in your hands to open doors to form relationships with other people so that the seed of the gospel at some point can be sown into their life, or a word of blessing can be spoken over them, and on it goes. Why should Hollywood and the world export all the creativity in the world when we believe the Word of God says, because we who have the Word and the Spirit together can begin to see things that will blow people's minds? I know Brother James Nesbitt, the other day we were talking, he was sharing with me, the Lord's given him a movie. It's awesome. He just shared a little bit with me, but I mean, it was TNT. And we just declare in Jesus' name that all the funding for that's going to come forth. You know, five years ago, about this time of year, 2018, I went out to Word Fellowship. They were having, at that time, we were having like nights of worship at different churches, and we're having one over at their church. And our team was there, our worship team was there. And they got into a set that went on and on and on, just spontaneous, but it got so thick. The room got heavy with just the Lord's presence. And I'm back about two-thirds of the way back on one side, sitting in one of the seats, and I'm just worshiping. And in the middle of that, boom, open vision, just laid a template over the room. I mean, everybody was there, they're doing what they were doing, but a vision just broke out in front of me, and I'm standing there and I'm seeing this. Now, to set the context, we had just, not too long before purchased this property that we now have a building on. It was some grass and red dirt, okay, an old field. And we were, we were needing to get it paid off. And so when this vision burst forth, I saw the church. I saw this church. Now, I didn't see all the design colors and all that stuff, but I saw the general shape of the building, and because it was almost like it had a mist in front of it, I could tell it was a building, but very clear was what was on the south end. Now, I was having this vision as if you were out behind the flagpole out on the street there looking this way, okay? That was my view. So, I could see the building here, and then on this end there was a big grassy area. And that's what we have on that end. That's the reason that grassy area is there. That's for future expansion. In this vision, I could see this building and then this grassy area. And then this huge angel came down. He's a winged being. Not all angels are winged, but this one was. Came down, and he stops like this. In this hand, he had a sword. He's in the middle of that grassy area in my vision. Had a sword. In this hand, he had a harp. Not one of those with a bunch of strings on it. One in the Bible, kind of U-shaped and had a few strings on it. He had a harp in one hand, a sword in one hand and a harp in this, and he's standing there. And then the word of the Lord came in this vision, I want you to launch the Institute of Creativity. I heard that. And then the wind started blowing in the vision. This is something I had to know, and I could see it happening. It was coming from the north. It was coming from the south. It was coming from the east. It was coming from the west in the four directions. I couldn't see around behind the building, but you know how it is in visions. I knew the same thing was happening on the back, and it was just as clear. And I'm seeing this happening. I want you to launch the Institute of Creativity. Then the wind starts blowing, And then I start seeing it. Currency in the air, money, currency, bills. Flying in the air like when it's a real gusty fall day when the leaves are falling off the tree and they're just blowing up against the house. Money was coming in, hitting the side of this building in the vision and falling to the ground and just began piling up. I mean, it was like big piles of leaves, except it was, I couldn't see the denominations, probably ones, fives, tens, twenty, hundreds. It looked like U.S. money, you know. But it was just piling up in heaps everywhere. And then, vision gone. That was it. That was it. 5 years ago. We hadn't even started the building. Didn't even have the designs laid out or anything. Well, here we are, and we're in our building. Okay? And we've got the spot ready. And I know that's coming. I know, because in the dream I had to start thinking about that. And then when we got the building finished, I thought, well, you know, we need to pay this building off. So here's what I'm thinking the whole thing means. When we announce we're launching the Institute of Creativity, that building's not even there. This building is. But then the wind starts blowing and the money starts coming. I'm going to do that in a few moments. I'm sensing that this is the now moment. We're going to, by revelatory declaration, declare the Institute of Creativity is launched. Okay? And then we're going to start praying using our imagination and then getting people together, collaborating. What are you seeing? What do you think this will look like? What do you bring to the table? What do you see happening? And it's going to take a lot of working together and seeing that creativity come forth. But I know our children are going to be blessed. We want the Institute of Creativity will not be age defined. There'll be after school stuff for children. There'll be stuff for the youth. But there'll be stuff for everybody. And I see all kinds of crafts involved. Videography, filmmaking, writing songs, writing books, fashion, knitting, sewing, woodworking, all that. All the different ways that innovation and creativity. Listen, this is the time for it. We are living in the most innovative time in human history right now. And particularly this last 100 years or so has seen more, and now we're about to see more than the world has ever seen. Daniel said knowledge would increase in the last day. We're used to cars. You're going to have to get used to EVs, electric vehicles, because here's what's going to happen in the next 10, 15 years. It's coming quickly. Combustion engine, this way. Electric, this way. It's happening. It's happening. Wright's Law is working, I mean already working. Once something comes out, new innovation, it's usually really expensive to make one, but the more you make, the price comes down, and the price is already displaced within the next 6 months to 18 months for electric vehicles. They're going to be cheaper to buy. They'll be less than $30,000. They'll last longer and much cheaper to maintain. Now, combustion engine is going to be around a long, long time, but electric vehicles and energy storage, they've now got batteries that you can go 700 miles on. All of that's coming. Not only that, eVTOL. What's that? Electric vertical takeoff and landing vehicles. Get ready for air taxis. Skyways in addition to highways. Get ready for it. Get ready for autonomous driving. We wave at one another going down the road. In the future, you'll just see a car and it'll be loaded with people and nobody's driving. The computer's driving. And there won't be any driver error. And it'll take you where you want to go. And there'll be robo-taxis. You may not even own a car anymore. You'll just have a subscription with a taxi service, and you send a text, and it comes and gets you and takes you where you need to go. All that kind of stuff is coming at us. Genomic research and gene editing is now upon us. Now, whatever your thoughts are about it, it is here. They're getting to the point where now if they know a baby's going to be born blind, they can edit the genes and give the baby all that kind of stuff. Now, everything God creates and everything that's created can be used for good or evil. All right? That kind of stuff is coming. In addition to that, we've got blockchain technology that's going to disrupt the whole financial world. digital currency. It's coming. It is coming. I'm not prophesying. I'm just telling you what's coming. This world. And so the church needs to rise up into the fullness of what God for us. Now, I'm about to share the word of the Lord with you. Something the Lord spoke to me a couple of days ago, and when it came to me, I said it to Mickey, and she agreed with me. That's the word of the Lord. And it is this. The wineskin may need to change, but don't touch the wine. Don't touch the wine. In other words, the Lord is saying, you know, yes, things are going to change, shift, methodology and that kind of stuff. But we must not touch what makes it work. And that is the Word of God. That is the Holy Spirit of God. That is the supremacy of Jesus Christ that aims toward purity and holiness, benevolence, benefit, and blessing and beauty. We are made for this. This is our birthright. We were made for such a time as this. And we need the anointing of the Lord to come upon this fellowship, to press through and make the changes that need to be made, to position things that need to be positioned, and have the faith to go for it. And I believe that's where we are. And so I'm just calling you to pray specifically into this. Pray specifically into the vision. It's so I can't overstate how much I'm feeling this in my spirit. I want the worship team to come up right now. We wanted to step in a time of doing some declaration and declaring. Nikki, would you give Brother David the mic while the worship team's coming?
Thank you. I didn't wrestle with this. During worship, I went into a place of seeing. And I saw a big angel standing in the presence and the glory of God. And he was just standing there. He stepped out of that glory. And I thought, well, is it a fallen angel or whatever? But I seen him step down as if he was stepping in, bringing something. I also saw a doorway open that he was bringing something. Possibly here, I hope. Then it shifted. And I was struggling with it because it was almost past my imagination. And there's something real famous that's really became famous to me is Back to the Future. Brother Eddie mentioned 1996, the shaking. And all at once, I heard Ontario, Canada, which is a large province of Canada. I almost feel like there's somebody here from Canada. But then the largest city in Ontario, Canada is Toronto. In 1994, 2 years before Brother Eddie found him shaken in the power of God, there was men and women from this region going to Toronto, Canada, to the airport, where God's Spirit was being poured out around the clock for several years. And we had men that went there, and I did not go there, but as soon as four men that I knew, I had them lay hands on me and pray for me when they come back. And I received an impartation from their visitation to that place. Ontario and Toronto, that province is loaded with all kind of minerals, all kind of stuff in the soil, plus the multicultural, like 140-something native people in that region. I say all that to say this, and I go back to when Brother Eddie came up to this region. This region was in a circle or a whirlwind of God. There was movement of God on this land, in this region. And I think this angel has stepped out because he has found a people, a remnant, where the Spirit of God is going to move. I ain't going to say like Toronto or Brownsville or anything. Everywhere he does it a little different. But here's the key, and he mentioned it. It's going to be the Holy Spirit. He's the one that empowers you to be creative. The Word of God and the Spirit of God work hand in hand. And I believe, I know it gives you boldness to step into your creative gift. And I share that because I saw it.
Amen. Amen. It's interesting, too. He saw the door opening, that this is the year for doors to open. So we want to step into this. I want us to stand, and I want you to get ready. And I'm going to say this today, because I don't know what might start happening. If you need to ease out, that's fine. No guilt. But we just want to step into what God wants to do in this time. It may not take long, but I just declare an atmosphere of creativity in this room. I declare an atmosphere of music, of song, of dance, of artistic expression. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by virtue of revelation, I believe it's consistent with what God's Word teaches, I decree and declare that in this moment of time the Father has ordained for Grace House, we are launching now the Institute of Creativity in Jesus' name. And all that means, I don't know how much money I got exactly, but woo! Let it come. We look to the north. Wind blow. We look to the south. Wind blow. We look to the east. Wind blow. We look to the west. Wind blow in Jesus' name. Let's begin worshiping the Lord. Let's begin worshiping. Let's step into it. Dancers dance. Flag wavers flag. Let's worship the Lord. We decree the shift in Jesus' name. We call the foundations up. The declaration of God's Word. The moving of God's Spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus. 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 Worship. Pray in the Spirit. Come on up. Hear me, come on up. Come on up. Name of Jesus. We declare that people are coming from the north, the south, the east, and the west with the skill set, the knowledge that is needed. We call it forth out of each of you this morning that each of us would be a living oracle to the Lord of His beauty. May creativity be stirred up in everyone in the room. I speak to your spirit. Be made alive with God's creativity, imagination, innovation, growth in purity, growth in power, in Jesus' name. I need some of you guys to come, if you will, gather up this seed. Let's put it in one container, and we want to speak blessing over it. Gather up the seed. Generational blessings. Some of you older people come. Oh, come on now, you know who you are. Y'all hold it. Hold it up. Yeah. On this day, October the 8th, 2023, we lift this seed offering of you as a first offering for the Institute of Creativity. Lord, we pray that this will be blessed and multiplied many times over. Lord, we need several million dollars to build that new building and to pay this one off. And we thank you that a small seed can move a mountain of depth. We thank you that a small seed can produce a whole orchard of seed-bearing trees. So we ask that you bless us. We speak blessing over this, that the blessing of creativity be upon this. Lord, everyone that's given, Bless them, bless them, bless them. And Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus that this is forerunning the arrival of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars that's coming from the four winds by initiation of the Holy Spirit to bring forth out of the ground a building that will house the Institute of Creativity. And Lord, we are asking for wisdom today, the anointing to begin to put things in place and to get things operating so that that building becomes more and more of a necessity. We ask this. We decree this. We declare this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Let's celebrate a minute. Take a moment. Fellowship with the people around you. Collaborate together. Fellowship. Share some love. Share some joy with each other. Thank you for being here today. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Kelly, wait a minute. What's that? You want to sing? Okay, come on up. Come on up here. Sorry, I didn't see you. Father, we are so grateful. We are so grateful for all you're doing, and we bless you today. We bless you. Having begun a good work, you will bring it to completion. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. If anyone needs prayer, this altar is open. We have folks that will be happy to pray with you.